Are our mics on?
It's time to get behind the mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley on KFAR Radio, promoting all of our incredible nonprofit organizations that truly make Fairbanks the Golden Heart City. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Hello, hello, Interior Alaska. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Sarah Hollister. This is Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley. And I'm here with my work bestie.
No.
My
ride or die.
Hi, Katie Yarrow.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Here on Behind the Mission, we like to get with our nonprofit friends and find out what they do, why they do it,
why it's important,
all the things.
Yeah, and how you can support.
Yes, how we can support.
Because that's what we're doing.
That's what we do.
That's what, you know, United just may or may not be the way this year.
Yeah, United is the way. So yeah. If you tuned in last week, we did have our campaign kickoff.
Woo!
Which was amazing. We released our new theme, United is the Way, which I think is an overarching theme for our community right now.
Yes.
You know, no matter what side you're on, no matter where you're at, being united, working together is really the path forward. And so
that's how we keep our community strong. We look out for each other. We help each other out.
Mm-hmm. And we have someone here today, amazing guest.
Yes, who is definitely here to help people out.
Yeah, who's here, who's doing the hard work and the heart work.
And the heart work.
Like we like to say, but the hard work. We have...
Savannah Fletcher, one of my dear friends.
Dear friend.
Savannah
hello,
Fletcher.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me.
And what capacity is she here in today, Sarah?
She is the vice president of the Fairbanks Hope Link.
Yes, which is a somewhat newer nonprofit.
Yes.
Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. We are a low barrier warming center, and we're about to start our third season. So we've been here for 2 winters, but this will be our longest season yet.
Awesome. Oh, because are we opening early? Because... Mother Nature has said winter is coming.
Let's be honest. We're all feeling chillier.
It's a little chilly right now.
Yeah, and for those in our community that don't have a reliable roof over their head, it's plenty cold sleeping outside right now. So the goal is to open this early October.
Awesome.
Oh, great. And so tell us, you know, someone who was tuning in, they might have never heard of Fairbanks Hope Link. What is it?
Great question. So Fairbanks Hope Link... And I should say we are fiscally sponsored by NCSF here in town. So big shout out to those who help sponsor starting newer nonprofits like ours. And Fairbanks Hope Link is a warming center, a low barrier one, the only low barrier warming center we have in all of Interior Alaska, which means from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. every night, all winter long, October through April, anyone can come in to warm up, get out and away from the cold, from freezing frostburn risk, from dangerous conditions. And you can get a snack, you can take a rest, you can sit in a chair, you can use the bathroom, just basic needs of humanity that folks who are unhoused otherwise lack.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And in the harshest months.
Oh, yeah. And so you guys are only open during the winter or during the cold time.
Yes, for now. Long-term dream and vision, people need a roof over their head year-round, but and this really, I mean, to get a bit to our origin story, Fairbanks Hope Link was born out of concern after we had a member of our community who was unhoused die a few years ago out near Fred's West because he didn't have those conditions to keep him warm and safe. And we said no more people should die on our watch here in the Golden Heart community. And because of that, a few of us came together and said, what can we do about this? How can we get a warming center that's open to everyone, regardless of the baggage they may or may not be bringing in with them, so they don't have to die out in the cold?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we do have other places for people to go, you know, a place for people to go, the rescue mission. But just so people, not everybody realizes that there are barriers to enter the rescue mission. And so that's where you guys can step in when someone maybe can't meet that criteria and they don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, it's a great point, and I think that's really worth emphasizing. What does it mean to be low barrier? People come into our warming center each night who might be intoxicated. They might be on substances, legal or illegal. They might have had a tense night the night before where they got into an altercation. Well, so long as they agree to our policies and to come in peacefully and respectfully, we're going to give them another shot. We realize that no one can be perfect, and especially if they're facing the instability and the traumas of being unhoused, you're not going to always meet all the criteria of a lot of the programs that exist in our community, but you still deserve a place to be safe and warm. Yeah. So
you still don't deserve to die.
Yes,
it's not
exactly
a death penalty because you had a wild night.
Exactly. Yeah. So many folks who do have the economic security to go out one night, drink, and then come to a safe, warm home, while others are drinking just to tolerate the pain of our winters, to be outside in negative 20. So we're happy to open our doors to everyone. Mm-hmm. And when I say low barrier, we ask you to sign in. People often sign in as anonymous. It's just to track the number of people that come in. But otherwise, there's no paperwork. You just come right in, get to have a seat, grab a snack, and exist in a safe place that's accepting of you.
Yep. And if you are just tuning in, this is Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley. And right now, we're sitting with Savannah Fletcher. She's the vice president of Fairbanks HopeLink, which is a low-barrier warming shelter that's going to be opening up in October.
Yeah. And so you guys are fully volunteer-led.
So our board is all volunteer, but that's been part of our journey. I guess I'll start at the beginning. Two other women that deserve a shout-out. I was doing regular coffees with Sue Sprinkle, a current city council member, and with Jennifer Jolis, longtime advocate, volunteer, worker in our community. And we were talking about this. Charles Akiyevac is the one who passed away from being unhoused. And we're like, what can we do? What is available to us? And that first winter, we were only open for 2 months, but through a very generous loan from Fairbanks Native Association, or I should say lease at a really low rate, we had a few private donors, and we were able to hire staff to have 15 to 20 people at a time come into that space each night and stay warm. And it's grown from there. So now our board is entirely volunteer-led, but we just hired a program manager, and we are aiming to have 8 peer support specialists this year that will do shifts at our warming center because they're there to help from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. to navigate the wide range of needs that come up when you have such a diverse group of people, sometimes 60 at a time, that come into our warming center, dealing with whatever baggage they have from the day, and also the added hardship of just trying to be warm and find a quiet place to sit down and rest.
Yeah. So are those individuals, like, is there a ratio that has to be maintained with supervisors versus the number of individuals who are in there?
It's a great question. There's no state regulatory ratio that's required for a warming center. We are distinct. We're not a shelter that provides you beds and your own room or any of that kind of space. Yeah. But for a warming center, ideally, we like to have at least 3 people on staff at a time because our newer space, which I should say is located behind the Sadler's building, it's the old fire engine. People might know it as Goldie's that operated out of there for a few years. That warming center space, like I said, we sometimes have upwards of 60-plus people. We averaged 55 people a night last winter from December through April, over 6,100 individual check-ins. So our warming center prevented 6,100 times that someone would have had to otherwise sleep outside in the snow, in the cold. But in terms of ratios, the goal is to have at least 3 staff at a time to manage things, to be at the door, to help get snacks, help keep things clean, and reach out if there's any emergency that arises.
Excellent.
And so when you say warming shelter, what explain a little, if you were somebody in need, explain just kind of walking into the room what you'd see and the experience you'd get.
Definitely. So I have worked shifts there, so I can explain firsthand from being that person that welcomes you at the door. You enter the warming center in that little alleyway space that's behind Sadler's, former Goldie's, that little alleyway. And there's a door there. You open it, you'd see someone like myself or one of our peer support specialists who have lived experience in this area greeting you. And they just ask, hey, could you please sign in? And like I said, some people just write initials, they write their name, they write anonymous. And then we give them a snack and we say, welcome. Here are the bathrooms, here are the chairs. And if you come in with a big bag, a lot of the folks that we serve carry all of their possessions with them at all times. We have spaces. We're trying to like give you room to store your stuff there. We offer outlets so people can charge their phones or their other devices that they use during the day. And you just find a seat. There are tables often with puzzles, coloring pencils, but there's also an area where the lights are dim. And if you just want a quiet space at night to sit in a chair, you walk over there too. It's just a big room with all these different areas and sections. We always have tea, coffee, ramen for soup, things to warm you up. And we even have boot warmers now. So it's a chance for people. Because that's really, I do want to emphasize, this is a public health service. We heard from Memorial Hospital last year just the number of reductions in acute needs coming to the emergency room last year related to frostbite, related to frost snip, related to harms when you get really wet and cold. feet, toes, fingers.
Appendages
yeah. in general. Exactly. And that was reduced because people had a place to dry off their stuff at night, to stay warm. And between saving lives, we are also just preventing severe harm that makes it tougher for people to be mobile for the rest of their life if you right. have to lose a limb due to yeah. frostbite.
Yep.
Wow. That's well, amazing work.
Well, and so, like, essentially what we've just described here, we're not talking a big fancy shelter. This is very simple, very basic human needs, but doing such important work. Like, you are saving lives with a warm room.
Exactly. It's really bare bones. There's nothing fancy about it. We have some fold-out chairs, some fold-out tables, yeah. bathrooms, and snacks.
This is not the lap of luxury, but when you compare it to a night out on the street at 20 below.
Exactly. It's really the basics that we can provide in showing human decency to our fellow neighbor. And the nice thing is this has also been a springboard for folks to reach a higher, better standard of living if that's what they're seeking. And happy to share these stories, but also you direct us, Sarah, on the timeline for this conversation.
Well, yeah, let's why don't we hop on a quick break and then we can come back and we can hear a few more stories about people experiencing houselessness
and
stopping in the shelter.
And then find out maybe how we can support.
Yeah. So stick with us.
Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. We'll continue after this short break on KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
The United Way of the Tanana Valley's mission is to improve the lives of every person by mobilizing the caring power of our community. We inspire others to join us in supporting our local nonprofits that serve our friends and neighbors by providing life-changing services here in Interior Alaska. To learn more about how you can give, advocate, and volunteer with us, please contact our office at 907-452-7211 or go to our website at unitedwaytananavalley.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with the United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the Archives section. Weekend just got local with KFAR Radio. Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Thank you for sticking with us, Interior Alaska. I'm Sarah Hollister. I'm with Katie Yarrow.
Hi!
It's Behind the Mission with the United Way, where we speak with our local nonprofits.
Yeah, and today we have with us a very involved community member, Miss mm-hmm. Savannah Fletcher.
Yes.
And she is with us today because she is the vice president of Fairbanks Hope Link, yep. which is our low-barrier warming shelter here that we'll be opening here in, what? 5-6 weeks?
Just, no, yeah, even not, fewer. Yeah. Sometime in October, we're waiting to finalize training with our staff, but then you'll hear. But yes, I'm Savannah with Fairbanks Hope Link, and I'm wondering, I'd just like to clarify some questions. People have had questions about the warming center in the past, and what are our policies? Mm-hmm. And I figured before we start this next season, it'd be great to lay out what you can expect. And so we talked before, like, what is it like to walk into the warming center? Well, one key difference from our first season, when we had a smaller space through Fairbanks Native Association, we'd always end up with a line. And we had to start doing shifts because we couldn't fit everyone in that smaller space. We could have up to 20 people max. And as I said before, nowadays we average 55 people a night. So the demand was so high, we had to start doing shifts, and people would come for a few hours, warm up, and then have to go out into the cold again in the middle of the night so we could let other people in. So the beauty of our new location, which this will be our second season in this new spot behind Sadler's, is that we don't have to turn anyone away. Mm-hmm. People get to stay for the entirety of the night, which is from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it works out really well because then our great partners, the Breadline, open up for breakfast just 30 minutes later, and people walk over there so they have a place to stay warm again and get some food. So that's just one of the many blessings that we've had from the way that we have grown and built capacity and had more people donate and support so we can have a bigger space, pay for a larger lease, and afford the peer support specialists and the staff that we need to manage 60 people in the middle of the night from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m.
And you're a warming shelter, but if someone was there and they were ready to kind of take the next step, you have these peer support people that can kind of guide them if they need help with their substance misuse or if they, need some any kind of help, the peer support will, can guide them to the next step.
Yeah, our staff are trained at the start of every season, both in de-escalation, just basic management, but also through their lived experiences and background and our growing partnerships with other providers in the community, we now have the chance to connect people with resources. We've started to have programs where on occasion throughout the winter, someone might come at 6 a.m. before we close at 7 to talk about their program, to talk about what they're offering to individuals or to provide acute medical services or access to resources. And it's been really wonderful. I will share one story. We have these two older gentlemen who started when we were in the smaller space with Fairbanks Native Association. They would come each night, and it was the first time in their life in ages that they reliably had a place to be warm at night where they could use a restroom and especially wash their hands and wash their face so they could start the morning clean. And that allowed them to have that stability to then go seek a job. And they each both found employment that winter, and by the end of the season were no longer coming to the warming center because they had an income and they spent it on rent and they got their own place to live. They had their own roof over their head. It was a major success story. They were so grateful to the warming center. And it's stories like that that really keep us going, because everyone deserves a chance to turn their life around if they wish. And we were the jumping off point for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's those simple things, right? Like you said, they washed their hands and face. They felt clean and presentable. They felt comfortable and more confident than they would have otherwise. And they probably had more energy because you weren't battling the elements all night. You had a safe space. You got to kind of plan your day, and you got to go into the world ready in a way that you otherwise wouldn't have been.
Totally.
And I mean, it's kind of the beauty of these concepts, right? Like none of this is rocket science. None of this is a terribly big lift. Or like you said, we're not purchasing beds and rooms and all these things. We are just giving someone a place to be warm and safe.
Exactly. And because it is that, it's those bare bone essentials. We also run on an incredibly small budget. Like I said, last year we operated for 4 months, had full-time staff, served over 6,100 individual check-ins, and our budget was just under $200,000, paying for rent, paying for salaries, paying for supplies, everything. And it's just amazing what you can accomplish when people care enough to try, and we're going to find a way to make it work. It might not be the fanciest thing, but it gets the job done. And that really brings me to one of my big asks and hopes in doing this radio show and reaching out to folks as more people learn about HopeLink and our warming center, is if you can contribute, please do. We don't receive any large federal grants. We got a little bit of help in grant funding last year, but we're primarily private donations. People in our community who see this need and say, we don't want to go the way of other large cities who have not addressed the houselessness problem and see people suffering so much because of it. We want to do something about it. And so this year, we're hoping to fundraise $200,000 so we can operate another full season for the warming center. And it's totally achievable, which is what I love about it. This is not a multi-million dollar project. We're not taking down the Polaris building for a decade, you know? We're just keeping people warm with a snack and a place to go to the restroom. And it's totally achievable.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Do you guys, so what are your fundraising efforts? Are there events? Are there...
So for any, now, yeah. Yeah, what can you find? Well, we're sending out many postcards. If you've donated to us in the past, if you donated to some similar causes, mm-hmm. you'll likely be getting a postcard from Fairbanks HopeLink asking you to support. We're spreading the word on social media. We're starting with the lower lifts fundraising-wise just to see what we can get from the community before we open our doors this October. Awesome. Down the road, hoping to find another way to do a bigger fundraising event. Like I said, we've been so focused on the mission right now and just mm-hmm. getting doors open, keeping people warm. We don't have capacity for fancy galas. We just need people yeah. to help us get granola bars and yeah. help us yeah. find someone who's willing to work such tough hours through the middle of the night, 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So really that's, and I think it's worth just emphasizing, how can you donate to us? You can find our website, fbxhopelink.com. If you send us checks, I don't need to say it here because you're not going to write down the P.O. box from the radio show, but look us up online. You can mail us donations. You can send donations to North Star Community Fund, the foundation there. They help support our mission. If you say this is for HopeLink, it will go to us. We're really just still a baby organization in yeah. many ways, and we welcome feedback and ideas. If you want to yeah. host a fundraiser for the Warming Center, we'd love it. Yes. Please. But like I said, I know that Fairbanks has the means to help fund another season of this, mm-hmm. and we can do it internally as a community. So yeah. thanks for your help in that.
Yeah, and it's so important. It's so important. And I think one thing that, you know, we're finding more evidence is meeting people where they're at. And the most important thing when you're dealing with somebody who is going through a hardship, whether it's financial, whether it's drug misuse, whether it's mental health, if you don't meet them where they're at and give them the basics, just, you know, a warmth or food, they can't work on the actual problems of their life if they're always struggling to yeah. find that next meal, to find where they're going to sleep tonight, to stay warm.
It's basic hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
where I think yeah. a lot of people can miss the mark on that. They can say, okay, well, you get your life together and then I'll help you. And I think we're finding as a society that is not working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it works for some people. It does. There are success stories in that. But it doesn't work for a large part of our population.
Right.
And that's where HopeLink is so essential, is it is low barrier. And I can't even stress that enough and differentiate that enough, because there are other places to get services, but there's no one that meets it like this and meeting
well,
people
and
where
is,
they're at.
It's important to have, you know, that diversity in our nonprofits mm-hmm. as well, because mm-hmm. there is a place for all of these. If you guys are serving a niche, it's because that need exists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so exactly, like you guys are addressing the group of people who these other services just for whatever reason would not meet. And so we're like, okay, this group, how can we help these people who cannot be serviced by these other organizations? So it's what we're doing.
Totally. I completely agree. And I'm so glad you used that term, meeting people where they're at, because it's actually part of our kind of vision statement, our mission mm-hmm. statement as an organization. We want to meet people where they're at and keep them warm, safe, and connected to community resources.
Is that your mission? Is that behind them?
Is that behind that mission? Yes. Now you're seeing behind the curtains. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do. And it's so true. I do think it's so important to also shout out other providers that have helped mm-hmm. us do better. I do want to shout out to the Community Service Patrol. They now have a different acronym, but you know, the Emergency yes. Services Patrol the city was providing for years, and then they went away last year. And it was mm-hmm. a noticeable need for us at the Warming Center, because we are meeting people where they're at, which is often with some acute emergencies, whether they be medical or legal or other. And there was no one to call except the police department or to call for an ambulance sometimes. And to have this upcoming season a new revived community service patrol that is adequately funded and can not only provide that initial ride to services or medical help, but is going to connect people for that longer term planning, it's so nice, because we are that first stop. We are when someone just needs to be warm, meet that basic need. But where do you go from there? And we're not going to be the experts for every single stage of that journey, but to be able to connect people with those resources and people who will respond to a 1 a.m. call for help yeah. is huge. So really grateful for them and those ongoing partnerships that we're building.
And if you don't know, the Emergency Service Patrol, it's an alternative. Like, say you see someone, maybe they're laying, you know, in the cold in the park and they look like they need help or anything, it's not necessarily a police situation. We have the emergency service patrol that you can call and they can come assess the situation. So nobody's getting arrested. Nobody's life is getting turned upside down. They're just getting the help they need. And so that is just a little plug for them. But it's a partnership. It works. So they are able to bring people to HopeLink if they need to go there and kind of get the warmth if they're stuck somewhere across town.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very nice.
And they can also help us bring someone to Memorial Hospital, to the emergency room if we need, or to another location. Sometimes we've had individuals come to the center, get in a dispute, but they say, I have a safe place I could go, but it's, across town. I need a ride. We now have other partners and people to reach out to assist with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is amazing. And again, the power of uniting.
Mm-hmm.
Uniting.
I've heard uniting
for a cause.
Is the way.
Uniting what? Is the way.
No.
I mean, everybody attends and everybody, and we got to care for everybody.
That's true. So then, of course, we talked about, people can support financially. It sounds like we could also maybe donate some snacks. Donate some boot warmers.
Boot warmers, yes. I will say we are not a great clothing repository. I think there are other spaces that have more capacity to store that, to process it.
Good to know.
But yes, snacks, soft snacks. I would emphasize a lot of folks in our client base don't have all their teeth, or chewing can be really hard for them. Or if they take a snack with them out for the rest of the day in the cold, you don't want something that will become really hard and brittle and difficult to chew.
Yeah.
So ramen, fantastic. We have hot water galore, tea,
cup of noodles,
hot cocoa, yes, those chewy Nutri-Grain bars, all is really great.
Awesome.
And it is those little things that help someone feel welcome.
Yes.
We're giving them a warm space and also a snack or some tea and a place to sit down, because you want to respect one another's humanity while also providing some basic needs.
Yeah, being friendly. I don't know if they see a lot of friendly faces throughout the day. You know, if you're constantly getting kicked out of everywhere you go, you're going through whatever crisis you're going through, and then you come somewhere and they're just a
smile. The power of a smile.
Yeah. Yep. Like, it's amazing. You're doing amazing work there.
And then is there, because you said a lot of the staff is paid, are there needs for volunteers?
So at this point, we're working to get there. We're not there yet. Like I said, these are tough hours. Most people are asleep 10 p.m. to 7 a.m.
As you should be.
Sleep is vital. Sleep is vital for our clients, for everybody.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Maybe we'll do another interview when that option's available. But for now, we welcome donations of food and donations of money. And if you want to join our board and find out other ways to help, we are also welcoming board members. So that might be a first way to take a step in.
Okay. And remind us of, if anybody's interested in any of those options, where do they find you?
Yes. You can find us at fbxhopelink.org is our website. And that has information on the board members, how to contact us. We're also on Facebook like everyone else, Fairbanks HopeLink. And otherwise, you can mail any donations to our P.O. Box, which is available online.
Perfect.
Well, thank you,
Savannah. Thank you so much for sharing the amazing work that you and your fellow board members are doing.
Yes.
Thank you for keeping our community safe this winter. Mm-hmm. And thank you for everything you do.
Yeah. And before we go, we just want to remind people that United Way is kicking off their campaign.
Woo! Yeah. Yay. So if you have a workplace that wants to invite us in to encourage philanthropic efforts in our community, and that can be giving the gift of money, time, or raising our collective voice.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more, you can go to UnitedWayTanaValley.com.
Yeah. And if you are interested in having us come speak at your workplace or speak at your event or your Rotary,
or just want to engage with us and learn more,
we'd be happy to.
Of course. We love uniting.
We love
partnering.
And we love Interior Alaska.
And Katie has a smile for you.
Katie has a smile. And we'll talk at you next time.
We will talk at you next week.
You have been listening to Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. To listen back to this or any of our other local programs, simply click on the archives page at kfarradio.com. Behind the Mission has been a presentation of the United Way and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.